We will begin Maariv in a few minutes, but in the time that we have before Maariv, I just want to focus with you on the events that led to today. Today, of course, is Tzom Gedalia, and the events that are described in the Navi about the murder of Gedalia, I think can be very instructive and can give us a certain sense of perspective about why it is that we fast today. Now, the Rambam very briefly tells us that when Gedalia was killed, so the last embers of Jewish sovereignty in Israel were extinguished at the time of Chorban Bayis Rishon, the time of destruction of the first temple. But when you go through the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, in Perek Mem and Perek Mem Aleph, if anyone happens to have a Tanakh, you're certainly more than welcome to follow along. But if you go through the Psukim, you notice a few interesting things. The Navi begins by telling us that Hashem speaks to Yirmiyahu after Nebuzradan, who is the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babel who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. His chief executioner, his general, is Nebuzradan. And Nebuzradan is sent to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu had been in prison with all the exiles from Yerushalayim, and Nebuzradan comes to Yirmiyahu. That's the story. Now, it's interesting to note that Yirmiyahu's in prison. Earlier in Perek Lametes of Yirmiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar had said, I want you to protect my guy, to protect Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was a defender of Bavel. He told the Jewish people to capitulate to Bavel, and Nebuchadnezzar really liked Yirmiyahu. So, or as much as Nebuchadnezzar liked anybody. But, so what does it mean that Yirmiyahu is in jail and Nebuzradan is coming to take him out of jail? So apparently, Chazal say, the Radak refers to this, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi couldn't handle being away from the Jewish people. He said if the leaders of the Jews, all the leaders had gone into exile and they were imprisoned, he felt he should be with them. So he himself went, and he went to jail, and he tied himself up with the chains. The Psukim say that Yirmiyahu is tied up with the chains, and Yirmiyahu is sitting there in jail. So Nebuzradan comes to Yirmiyahu, and he tells him, listen, Yirmiyahu, we're taking you out of jail, you're free, and you have a choice. You can go basically wherever you want. You want to stay in Bavel, you could stay in Bavel. You want to go back to Eretz Yisrael, you could go back to Eretz Yisrael. You have a choice, you could go wherever you want. Hine pitachticha hayom min hazikim, I'm freeing you from the chains. Im to benecha lavo iti Bavel, you want to come to Bavel, great. If you don't want to go, re'e kol ha'aretz lefanecha, you could go anywhere you want. Now, apparently, Yirmiyahu has great difficulty making a decision where to go. Just reading into the Psukim the way Rashi reads into them, basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, you know what, Yirmiyahu, you should get out and go back to Eretz Yisrael and go to Gedalia, the son of Achikam, the son of Shaphan, who is the governor. Now, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had exiled all of the leaders of the Jews. They're all out of the country. The people who remain in Eretz Yisrael at this time are the Dalas Ha'am. These are the poor people, the paupers. And it doesn't just mean financially poor. These are the people, they're not the scholars, they're not the Talmidei Chachamim. These are the ordinary poor Jews. How many people were with Gedalia? According to the Seder Olam, Gedalia has a total of 6,000 people with him at this time. Gedalia is located 12 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim, and he is surrounded by 6,000 people. And Hashem, as it were, Hashem says, you know what, Yirmiyahu, I want you to go to be with Gedalia. Now, if you're looking, you know, the pink Tanakhs, the Dat Mikra Tanakhs, so they want to read the story in a more, I would say, logical sort of way. They say, you know why Yirmiyahu decided to go to Gedaliah? Because Gedaliah is the son of Achikam ben Shafan. Achikam ben Shafan is a known figure from earlier in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The last pasuk in Perek Chavav, earlier in Yirmiyahu, says that Achikam ben Shafan was someone who actually saved Yirmiyahu's life at one point. So Yirmiyahu did not have a good time, by the way. He had a very difficult life. The Jewish people, everyone was making him really difficult existence. And this Gedaliah's father had saved Yirmiyahu. So Yirmiyahu says, oh, he's a friend. I want to be with him. So therefore Yirmiyahu went to be with Gedaliah. And he goes to this place called Mitzpah, which is where Gedaliah is located. We mentioned earlier that's 12 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim. Mitzpah was also the main road that people would go to be Ola Regel when they would go up on the Yomim Tovim to Yerushalayim, passed right through Mitzpah. That's clear in Psukim in Hosea and elsewhere. Fine, so Yirmiyahu then goes to be with Gedaliah. Now, the Medrash in the Psikta that is quoted by the Radak over here comments that Yirmiyahu is having a very hard time, again, like we mentioned, deciding where to go. And eventually he decides to go to Gedaliah, but the rationale is a little bit different. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu, according to this Medrash, according to this Psikta, says, Yirmiyahu, wherever you go, I'm going to go to the other place. In other words, Yirmiyahu, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to stay in Bavel. If you go to Bavel, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. The Shechina, as it were, is saying, that's where I'm going to be. So Yirmiyahu thinks for me, he says, you know what? The Jewish people are in exile. It's much better to have God with them, Imo Anochi Betzara, in exile, rather than have me, Yirmiyahu, with them. What can I do? I can't help them too much. Hashem could help them. So therefore Yirmiyahu went to Eretz Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with the majority of the Jewish people who were in Bavel. Fine. So Gedaliah has this group of people around him, and then the Pasuk says, this is in Perek Mem, Pasuk Zayin, that there are certain partisans, a certain Jewish soldiers who were Chayalim Asher Basadeh. These are soldiers who had been in the field, and apparently they had been fighting against Bavel, but now they lost, so they're scattered all over. So they hear that Gedaliah had been appointed as the governor, so they all begin to congregate toward Gedaliah. So we have all of these soldiers, as it were, and the Pasuk tells us some names of who these soldiers are. They are Yishmael ben Netanya. We'll talk about him a little bit in a few minutes. Yochanan and Yonatan ben Kareach. Seraya ben Tanchumet. We know nothing about him other than this pasuk. These are just names of soldiers that are mentioned, and they all come to be with Gedaliah. And what Gedaliah tells them is, Gedaliah says, listen guys, I have been appointed by Bavel to be the governor. Be good citizens, don't make noise, take care of your fields, plant grapes and olives, and you'll produce things, and just don't make too much trouble, right? Sit here quietly, everything will be okay. Atem isvu yayin, kayit shemen, simu bechleichem, shvu ba'areichem asher tefastem. You'll live quietly, everything will be fine. Great. And the next psukim say that the Jews from all around, right, the Jews who had left Eretz Yisrael after Yerushalayim fell. By the way, Yerushalayim falls on Tisha B'Av, right? And now it's what? 2 months later, basically. Gedaliah is killed, right? Now, it's around 2 months later. So there have been Jews who went to Moab and Ammon and Edom and all of the countries, and they say, oh, you know what? There's a governor of the Jews. His name is Gedaliah. Things are not so bad. Let's return. So Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael. The Jews are returning to Eretz Yisrael. Vayashuvu kol ha-Yehudim mikom kamos asher nidchu sham. They all return, and they come to Gedaliah, and the land is producing a lot of wine and a lot of oil, and things are great. Things are great. But then what happens? Some of these warriors, or these soldiers, as we'll call it, they come over to Gedaliah. Yochanan ben Kareach comes over to Gedaliah together with the other soldiers, and they say, you know what, Gedaliah? One of the soldiers who's part of our group, as it were, this Yishmael ben Netanya, he's out to kill you. The reason he's out to kill you is because the king of Ammon, his name is Baalis, the king of Ammon, the king of Ammon hired Yishmael ben Netanya to kill you. That's the story. That he hired him to kill you. Now, what's going on over here, obviously, is that Ammon wants some of the land where that Nebuchadnezzar, that Babel had captured, and there are Jews there, and the Jews have a governor who's appointed by Babel. So that's not good. That's not good if you're Ammon. So they say, let's get rid of this governor. We will hire someone to kill the governor. Now, this fellow Yishmael ben Netanya, who they decide to hire, the pasuk tells us that Yishmael ben Netanya is Mizera Hamalucha. In other words, he's a descendant of David HaMelech. He is from the royal family. Obviously, Yishmael ben Netanya is thinking, how come this guy Gedaliah is the leader and I'm not the leader? I want to be the leader. So I'm going to go and kill Gedaliah. So on his own, he's thinking about killing Gedaliah. Now, his good fortune, the king of Ammon wants to kill Gedaliah also. A gewaltige Shidduch. Wonderful. Two murderers getting together. Was kann sein besser, right? That's the basic story that happens. Now, the pasuk says that they speak to Gedaliah, and they say, Gedaliah, you know, they're out to kill you. V'lohem in lahem Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah doesn't listen to them. So then Yochanan ben Kareach walks over to Gedaliah in private. Amar el Gedaliah baseser b'mitzvah. He goes up to Gedaliah privately. He says, listen, Gedaliah, this guy, Yishmael ben Netanya, is out to kill you. Let me take care of him. Right? He said, maybe before when we came over to you publicly, you felt that this would undermine your role as a leader. Because I'm reading according to the Malbim. Because if you're going to give me permission to kill somebody, people will say that you as the leader are acting in a lawless sort of way. Let me take care of it quietly. No one's going to know. Elchana ve'akes Yishmael ben Netanya ve'ish lo yida. No one will know. Why should you die, Gedaliah? Why should you be killed? So what does the pasuk say? Vayomer Gedaliah ben Achikam al Yochanan ben Kareach, al ta'aseh hadavar hazeh, ki sheker ata dover el Yishmael. Right? Basically, the pasuk says that Gedaliah says, you know what? You're saying lies about Yishmael ben Netanya. You're saying he's trying to kill me? You have no evidence. Where's your edus? Where's your document? Even though you're telling me I'm not in court now, it's not an edus in Beis Din, there's no reason I should believe you. You're lying. Sheker ata dover. And therefore, Perek Mem Aleph says that on Chodesh HaShavi'i, the Radak understands it meant on Rosh Hashanah itself. We spoke about this on Rosh Hashanah also, whether Gedaliah was killed in Rosh Hashanah, whether he was killed today in Tzom Gedaliah. So Yishmael ben Netanya comes with 10 people. He sits down at a meal, and at that meal, he kills Gedaliah. Right, Vayokam Yishmael ben Netanya, and the 10 people are with him. Vayakos Gedaliah, Vacherev, Vayomeso. So they kill Gedaliah at this meal, and all the Jews who are with Gedaliah are also killed, or they run away. That's the basic story. Now, the Radak's explanation this happened on Rosh Hashanah answers a question: how come only Yishmael ben Netanya had weapons, and Gedaliah's men didn't have weapons? The answer is, it's Rosh Hashanah. Which good Orthodox Jew carries weapons on Yontif, no? So that's why, that's the story. Now, a few points to make about this story. The Psukim in Perek Mem Aleph talk about how then 80 people come to Yishmael ben Netanya, and they didn't realize that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he gives a test to find out if they're loyal to Gedaliah, not loyal to Gedaliah. He takes them into the city, closes the city behind them, kills all of them by a big pit that had existed from the days of Asa. This is the story here in Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem Aleph. Just a few points that are worth noting. You know, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about Tzom Gedaliah, which is because of this episode, because Yishmael ben Netanya killed Gedaliah. That's why we're fasting today. The Gemara says that Gedola Misas Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Halokeinu. The death of Tzadikim is as powerful, as strong as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The fasts that we have, Aser B'Tevi Shabbat, Aser B'Tamas, Tisha B'Av, are all about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Zok the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches, that killing of Gedaliah, killing of a tzaddik, like Gedaliah, according to Chazal, was a Navi also, was as great as destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Pnei Yehoshua asks a question. He says, I don't understand. There are many tzaddikim throughout Jewish history who died and were killed. How come we don't fast? If you would fast every day a tzaddik died, you would never eat. There's so many tzaddikim, thank God, who we had, and many of them have died, and many of them died in cruel and unusual ways. So, what's going on over here? How come over here we're saying Gedola Misa Tzaddik and Kisrefas Beis Halokeinu, and we don't say this in other contexts? So Pnei Yehoshua comments that ordinarily the Misa of Tzaddikin, ordinarily the death of a Tzaddik, is also Mechaper. There's a certain degree of atonement that comes about when Tzaddikim died. That's why on Yom Kippur we're going to read Acharei Mos, no? The death of Aharon's sons is read on Yom HaKippurim because, right, the death of Tzaddikim also brings atonement. So Pnei Yeshua asks, how can we balance these two things? Does the death of a Tzaddik bring atonement? Or does the death of the Tzaddik, is it a tragedy like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So he answers, no, it depends why he died. If you die because somebody who is power hungry kills you, if you die because this fellow, Yishmael ben Netanya, who's Zera HaMelucha, who comes from the royal lineage, feels you don't deserve to be the governor, I should be the governor, so that can't atone for anything. Such a death can't be an atonement, and that is why the death of Gedaliah is a tragedy like Sreifas Beis Halokeinu. That is the comment of the Pnei Yehoshua. So that's one important lesson here. But there's another important lesson that's relevant lahalacha, based on this entire episode. Yochanan ben Kareach, by the way, Yochanan ben Kareach is not a great tzaddik, no? The Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin says that Yochanan ben Kareach and all of his gang, ein lahem chelek la'olam hava. We're not dealing with like a great figure in Jewish history. Yochanan ben Kareach, though, warns Gedaliah that Yishmael ben Netanya is out to kill him. And Gedaliah doesn't listen. Then Yochanan ben Kareach warns him a second time. And he says, I'll take care of him. And Gedaliah doesn't listen. Zok the Gemara in Nida on Daf Samach Aleph. You see from here that Lashon Hara, even though you're not allowed to accept it, but lemechash miha mebaya, you have to be concerned. Says what the Gemara is basically saying is, listen, Gedaliah, now they're telling you something about this Yishmael ben Netanya. So it's Lashon Hara. It is Lashon Hara. They're saying someone wants to kill you, that's Lashon Hara by all standards. But you can't just ignore a statement like that. Gedaliah, you are supposed to take appropriate precautions and make sure that you're safe and you're protected. L'meichash miha mebaya. You have to be careful. You have to make sure that you're not going to suffer. The Maharsha understands what the Gemara means, is that really there are two different psukim here. The first pasuk says everyone comes to Gedaliah and says that Yishmael ben Netanya is out to kill you. And in that situation, so Gedaliah doesn't listen. The next time they come and they say, you know what? The next time, it's only Yochanan ben Kareah comes. He says, Gedaliah, I want to kill this Yishmael ben Netanya. Gedaliah says, no, you're saying lies. Really, the second time when they say, you know what, we should kill Yishmael ben Netanya, that Gedaliah was correct in saying, don't kill him. There wasn't enough evidence to kill him. But lemechash meyam abaya. But they should have at least, Gedaliah should have at least taken appropriate precautions to make sure that he doesn't suffer. Now, the Chafetz Chaim, in his work on Lashon Hara, points out, and it's well known, that there are two different aspects to the prohibition of Lashon Hara. There's a prohibition to speak Lashon Hara, that we're all familiar with, that we feel very bad about, but there's also a prohibition to be mekavel Lashon Hara, to accept Lashon Hara. Zok the Chafetz Chaim, what that means is that you cannot accept Lashon Hara as being true, and you cannot even accept Lashon Hara as possibly being true. Effectively, the Chafetz Chaim is saying that when Gedaliah lemechash miyam abaya, what that means is that Gedaliah should have said, you know what, you're really a liar. You're right. Right? You're right. Right? Gedaliah was right in saying that Yochanan ben Kareach is a liar, or when he was saying the things about Yishmael ben Netanya. It's not true. It's not true at all. You cannot accept it as being true at all, but nonetheless, you have to act as if it were true. That's the Chafetz Chaim's comment. In other words, that you're supposed to say, when someone says Lashon Hara, that could really end up hurting, you're supposed to say, I don't believe it at all, not at all. I don't believe it as true. I don't even believe it as suffix true. Not even is it questionably true, but I'll make believe that it might be true just to protect myself. Now the Chazon Ish, when he heard this line, the Chafetz Chaim, he says, that's impossible. It's impossible for a human being to walk around and to say, you know what, it's not true, but I'm going to act as if it's true. People can't work like that. If you're acting as if it's true, that means that you're saying that it's true. You're believing that it's true. The Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish are probably disagreeing fundamentally about the nature of the Isser of Lashon Hara, or the nature of the prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara. This is something that my friend Rabbi Daniel Feldman is in the process of writing a book about Lashon Hara, so he just sent me a chapter today about this topic, because I asked him, I said I'm going to be speaking about it, so he sent me his chapter. The Chafetz Chaim understands that the prohibition of Lashon Hara, at least of accepting Lashon Hara, is a prohibition in belief. The Rambam, for example, puts the halachos of Lashon Hara in Hilchos Deos. Right? Hilchos Deos means it's about our beliefs. However, the Chazon Ish is saying that Lashon Hara is not about belief. Lashon Hara is about that you can't damage someone. It's more of an actionable thing. Therefore, according to the Chazon Ish, there's no prohibition whatsoever in believing. Now, why is this story so relevant for us? You know, we live in a world where people will often come forward with accusations. And the accusations can be absolutely terrible. And the question is, what does someone in a position of leadership do when you hear these accusations? There could be accusations of molestation, Rahmanul Atzlan, accusations of things that are less severe. But in our world, these accusations come forward. Now, as a matter of halacha, you know, you can't say Hilchos Lashon Hara doesn't apply, obviously. But you have to recognize that this halacha of Lemechash Miyam Mebayah is absolutely true. In other words, you maybe have to say, I am going to not believe the accusation, but I'm going to act as if it were true, because there's potentially tremendous damage that could happen. On a certain level, right, these accusations, let's say the halachos of Lashon Hara, right, again, The halachas of Mesira obviously don't apply for many reasons, because we live in a democracy, thank God. There's absolutely no prohibition in going to authorities, and authorities can probably clear the issue up better than just a local tribunal. But in terms of your perspective should be, no, I'm not saying for sure the accusation is true. Chas v'shalom, sometimes accusations are not true. But on a certain level, though, there's an obligation to act as if it was true, and that is what L'mechash Miha Mibaya means according to the Chafetz Chaim. According to the Chazon Ish, right, L'mechash Miha Mibaya means that you're even allowed to believe that it's true to such an extent that you don't get damaged by it. That's what emerges from the Chazon Ish. Another thing that we see over here is different levels of belief, different levels of acceptance of truth, which is also something that's worth focusing on, but I don't know if we have time to go into it. But the idea of Tzom Gedalia, the idea that we fast today, one of the reasons why we're fasting is because, yeah, obviously Yishmael ben Netanya is the villain in the story. He killed Gedalia. But on some level, and it's not just some level, the Pasuk is very clear. The Pasuk says that when Yishmael ben Netanya killed all these people, the Pasuk has an expression that these are people who were killed biyad Gedalia. Gedalia in some ways is responsible for it, because he was supposed to take the accusation more seriously. And one of the reasons you fast on Tzom Gedalia is because a terrible accusation came forward, 100%. And unfortunately, Gedalia was in violation of this halacha of L'mechash Miyam Abaya, that you have to take it seriously, you have to protect yourself, you have to protect others, you have to protect all the potential victims. So that's the story in the Navi, as I understand it, in a modern sort of way. Thank you for listening.